Welcome to the conference of results for Grupo Sura's second quarter of 2017. My name is Richard. I'm going to be your operator for today's call. All the participants are muted. There will be a question and answer period at the end. For those who are listening in English and those who are connected through the webcast, you can send your questions through our platform. Please remember that this conference is being recorded. As of now, I'll give the floor to Mr. Juan Carlos Gomez, Director of Investor Relations. You may begin.
Good morning. Thank you for connecting to the call for results for the second quarter of Grupo Sura. You will have access to the recording in our webpage, and you can also find the presentation that we'll be following right now. We have in this call by Grupo Sura our CEO, David Bonanini, Ricardo Jaramillo, the Vice President of Corporate Finance, Edwin Moneda, Vice President of Legal Affairs, Luis Fernando Soto, Manager of Accounting. And from Manta Village, we have Andres Bernal, VP of Corporate Finance and Strategic Development for Sura Asset Management, and Lucas Ramirez, Manager of Corporate Finance for Sudamericana. I'll give the floor to our CEO, David Bonanini.
Good morning to everyone. Thank you for the time that you are going to dedicate to this call. I will start with the financial information for Grupo Sura. In slide 5, we have some highlights. The company during the semester had revenue for 9.9 billion pesos, with a growth of 22.4%. Well, another highlight is that during this quarter, this semester, because of foreign exchange issues, there was a negative variation due to the devaluation of the peso of 237 million pesos that affects the results of the company. Also, we wanted to mention during the first quarter, we have a provision for taxes of 37,000 million pesos, which is non-recurring and which is also affecting our results. The equity method had good dynamics with a growth of 21.9% due to good results from our associated companies. Thus, we're going to show you a net consolidated profit of 637,000 million pesos with a decrease of 34.6%. This is mainly due to the difference in rate of exchange, and because of the 37,000 million pesos provision for taxes. If we don't take this into account, our profits would be growing at 11.4%. Let's go to slide number 6. Where we'll see the financial position, and we have the assets for the company. Our assets were 71.1 billion pesos with a growth of 4.9%. I want to explain something. You will see a line for non-current assets available for sale, which is 4.9 million pesos. And that is the operation for sales of the insurance company in Peru by Sura Asset Management. And we'll see that this comes out of several asset accounts. We're going to present that separately until the operation is completely formalized. We'll see the investments by 24.7 billion pesos, which decreased 5.5%. The investments are affected positively by some good yields, but when we reduce the investments for the reserves of this insurance company, we saw a decrease, which is shown in that line of 4.9 billion pesos. The investments in associated companies, which is the investment in shares from Bancolombia, Grupo Argos, and Grupo Nutresa, comes up to 18.3 billion with a growth of 0.9%. Accounts receivable 5.6 6 billion pesos, growing 3.2. Those are the main accounts, assets accounts, with the appropriate explanations. In accounts receivable, we're mainly talking about dividends, receivable, which are decreed in the assembly for March. Let's go to slide number 7. Well, we talk about liabilities and equity. The total liabilities is 45.8 billion pesos with a growth of 8.1%. Also here we have an item which is the non-current liabilities available for sale, which is the operation for Peru for 4.27 billion pesos. The technical reserves are 24.5 billion with a decrease of 5.5% because we take out those reserves from this company in Peru. Issued security, 7.9 billion pesos. It's growing 31%. We have two issues, the one by Grupo Sura for 550 million pesos and Sura Asset Management for $350 million. And this latter one, which is done mainly for a redistribution of liabilities, actually is not having an increase in the liabilities. That issue by Sura Asset Management, rather, a distribution and change in some liabilities. We have financial liabilities for 2.4, and we'll see that there's a decrease here, and that is due precisely because of what I just explained about that redistribution made by Sura Asset Management. In equity, ended at 25.3 billion pesos with a decrease of 0.4%. And that decrease is affected by many things, including the acquisition of IC's share in Sun Asset Management, because also we updated the minimum dividend for the preferred shares due to the payment of dividends in cash, the issue of preferred shares for paying dividends. So there are many things that affected the shareholders' equity, and the net is that it's almost the same with a slight decrease of 0.4%. Let's go to slide number 8, where we have the integrated consolidated statement of results. We had revenue for 9.5 billion pesos with a growth of 22.4%. And here we have retained premiums of 5.8 billion, growing 31.6%. Service provision, which refers to health services at the EPS, by 1.3 billion, which grows 19.3%. Revenues from investments, 1.1 billion, which grows 61.5%. Revenues from commissions grows 6.7%. Participation share from the associate companies, 515,000 million, growing 21.9%. And we have the difference in foreign exchange, negative 132,000 million pesos, which is really has a significant decrease compared to the first quarter of the previous year, which was positive. But if we look at the revenue, most of the income accounts behave positively, and this explains that the semester had good results in operations for the company. Expenses, we have total expenses for 9 billion pesos, including retained losses, 3 billion pesos, growing 42.2. This is very much in line with the acquisition of the ISA's insurance companies. The administrative expenses, 1.7 billion, which grow 22.8. There are some things which are non-recurring that are affecting this growth in administrative expenses, but which actually, if we eliminate the non-recurring ones, the behavior is very normal and very controlled of those expenses. The cost of service provision, which refer also to the health cost, 1.3 billion, which grow, we are 18.5. Adjustment of reserves, 1 billion pesos, which is 7.4 increase. Intermediary commissions, 175,000 million pesos, grows 64%, mainly due to RSA because of the modalities of new channels that this company brings along, and the interest for 320,000 million, which grew 44.2%, obviously a result of higher debt levels. And this gives us net profits of 637,000 million pesos, which, as we explained a minute ago, is an increase of 24.6%. As a result, mainly of the different foreign exchange and some non-recurring expenses. In slide 9, we have an analysis of debt. Our individual debt by Grupo Sura is 5.27 billion pesos, of which 32.9% is in dollars and 67.1% is in pesos. The consolidated debt is 10.3 billion pesos, growing 5.9%. And here we have this by type of paper. The main type of debt is bonds, representing 73%, banks and leasing 21%, and we have other minor ones. And by company, Grupo Sura has 57% of the debt, Sura Asset Management 31%, and Sura Americana 12%. In slide number 10, we show a comparison of the various accounts from the statement of results to see where the main variations come from. So we find net profits for the first quarter of 2016 of 974,000 million pesos. We see here that net profits for Sudamericana grew 4.4%, adding 12,264 million. In the case of Suda Asset Management, there is a decrease in profits of 44,000 million pesos, which is explained due to the foreign exchange effects and non-recurrent expenses that we had this year. So this deducts 44,000 million pesos to profits. So the participation method, the associated companies have a growth in that method of 54,900 million pesos, and the foreign net foreign exchange impact is 237,000 million pesos, which also decreases the profits. The changes in administrative expenses is very small. It's an increase of 8,132 million pesos. Interest, because of the higher debt level, one up to 45,000 million pesos, and other expenses have increased 45,000 million pesos, and in taxes we have an increase of 24,000 million. So we see the various items that explain why profits amount to 637,000 million pesos, where we see that the biggest impact is caused by the difference in foreign exchange. Also, I wanted to tell you that if we didn't have that difference in foreign exchange and some of those non-recurring expenses, as I said earlier, the provision of 37,000 million pesos for taxes, that profit would have grown 11.4%. And as we saw in the statement of results, in operations, our accounts look pretty good. Let's go to slide number 12, where we will be talking about Sudamericana. Some highlights. The satisfactory progress of operations that we acquired in 2016, which show growths that are in line with what we had planned for the various countries. The regional reinsurance agreement renegotiated creates savings due to this risk diversification. The investment portfolios in Chile, Mexico, and Uruguay are being managed by Suda Asset Management, obtaining synergies among the companies. The consolidated premiums from Sudamericana during the semester is 5.6 billion pesos, growing 47.2%. And especially this is driven by these operations acquired from RSA. But we see that we had an organic growth of 13.8%. If we look at this from the point of view of operational segments, we had very good dynamics in income, which grew 14.5%, and efficiency in life business, which improves more than 200 basic points. The non-life item has investment income, which doubled. The claims ratio decreases 112 basic points, and due to the auto and transportation solutions stability. Healthcare has a net income growing 2.5 times the previous years, and part of that is due to the growth of revenue due from complementary health plans. Net profits for Sudamericana was 291,000 million pesos with a growth of 4.4%. If we didn't have any difference in foreign exchange, this growth would have been 16.3%. And the adjusted ROI for the company is 15.6%. In the graph that we have here on your right hand side, we see the premiums issued by country. Colombia represents 54%, Chile 15%, Argentina 10%, Brazil 5%, Mexico 5%, Panama 3%, Salvador 3%, Uruguay 3%, and Dominican Republic 2%. And from the point of view of the various insurance solutions, we have a predominance of auto, which is 22%. Fire represents 10.8%. Health, 8.4%. Occupational hazards, 8.8%. And group life, 7.7%. Individual life, 5.2%. So let's go to slide 13. We have here the statement of results for Sudamericana for the semester, where you see some total revenue for 6.8 billion pesos with a growth of 38.8%. In this revenue, we have retained premiums for 4.6 billion, growing 46.8%. The service provision, 1.2 billion, which is an increase of 20.6%. Investment income, 576,000 million, growing 15%. Income from commissions, 185,000 million pesos, with a growth of 82.7%. And from the point of view of expenses, which come to 6.4 billion, growing 40.7%, we see retained losses for 2.6 billion pesos with an increase of 45%, an adjustment to reserves of 160,000 million pesos, which has a growth of 110%. The cost of services rendered, this means health services, 1.2 billion, with an increase of 19.5. Administrative expenses is 11.2 billion, with a growth of 38.8. And commissions and fees for 1.1 billion, growing 54%. This to a total profit of 191 million pesos, which shows an increase of 4.4%. In slide 14, we have an explanation of, a comparative explanation vis-a-vis 2016 for the various components of these results. We start with a net profit of 278 million during the first quarter of 2016, and we see that the life business increases its profits 42.7 to 42,700 million. Non-life is 23,600 million, and health is 3,800 million. A negative rate of exchange difference of 28,000 million pesos. Some administrative expenses did increase by 4,400 million. Interest for higher debt levels, which grow 29,000 million. Taxes increasing 17,000 million pesos. And others, which have a positive effect of 12,200 for a net profit for the first semester of 291,000 million pesos. Which, if we didn't have that rate of exchange difference, the growth would be 16.3%. In slide number 15, we have this by segment. We'll start with life, which issued premiums with a growth of 14.8% and net profits for an increase of 14.4%. This life segment ended with profits of 339,000 million pesos for the semester. And we see here the comparative graph on the left-hand side of the slide, where you see that the retained premiums for life come up to 268,000 million pesos. The losses and adjustment of reserves decreased to 102,000 million pesos. Operational expenses come up to 65,000 million pesos. Plus, between among those, we have a significant impact, or rather, those operating expenses represent an improvement of the segment's efficiency by going from 14.8% of revenue to 14.1%. So there is there's actually a higher efficiency, although the growth of expenses you can see there, and others that add 40,000 positive, this shows us a profit of 339,000 million pesos for life. On the right-hand side, we see premiums and losses for the various life solutions. We have group life, which grows 24%, health with an increase of 16.5%, and in the claims rate, we have a total claims rate of 63.7% compared to 61.3%. We see this is in the provisionals, which is 111%, probably because of provisions that we have to establish to for losses that have not been advised. Provisionals is a solution that has, which has a long tail, which you have losses after the periods end, and that is why the company is making provisions for that. In slide 16, we go to the non-life segment, which shows net profits of 63,900 billion pesos with a growth of 58.8%, and the premiums underwritten is 67.9%. In the comparison, the graph shows how, starting with net profits from the, 40,000 million pesos last year, for the segment, income from investment is 24,900 billion pesos, and the retained premiums are 1.2 billion pesos more. Obviously, we include the purchase of RSA. And the losses and reserves decrease 915,000 billion pesos. Operational expenses, 650,000 million pesos more. And we have other positives for 68,400 million, too, and with profits, which are higher than the previous semester, 2016, of 63,823 million pesos. In premiums, on the right-hand side, in the lower part side of the slide, we have auto with a growth of 76.1%, fire with 109.9% increase in premiums, the transportation clause 86.9%, compliance 24.4%, and total loss claim in, went up from 51.8% to 50.7%. With slightly more than 1 percentage point improvement. So we see the in the upper right hand, we see how these premiums are distributed by country and by type of solutions, the main one of which is automobile, which is 35%. In slide 17, we have the health segment, which increased its revenue by 22.3% and net income 153%, with 9,060 million pesos for 2016. We see an increase in revenue due to service provision to 261 million pesos, with an increase in cost of 245,000 million pesos. The operating expenses grew 6,108 billion pesos. Then we have others, other expenses that increased by 6,500 to close with 22,890 million pesos, an increase of 153%. We should point out the loss rate, which is 92.3%, which is very similar to the previous year, which is 93.2%. Those are the most important figures for health. In slide number 19, we go to Suda Asset Management. So the highlighted events are here. We have the announcement of the sale of the insurance company in Peru and of the mortgage company for $268 million. And this is what, as I explained earlier, while this operation is completed, we have to separate in the financial statements anything pertaining to Peru, and that is what affects the comparability of the figures. The assets managed by Suda Asset Management ended at 384.8 billion pesos with a growth of 14.4%. With 19.2 million members, which grew by 7.7%. Asset managed during in the mandatory pension funds come to 340 billion pesos with a growth of 13.9%, and in voluntary funds with 32 billion pesos with a growth of 23%. Investments provided an excellent growth. The yield increased by 119%. The segment, the mandatory segment, has net profits that grew 9.6%. In the voluntary segment, we continue to grow double digits. The commissions grew 25.3%, and assets managed grew by 23%. Net profits for the company was lowered by 14.9%. This is a result of a difference in rate of exchange and because of non-recurrent provisions that we had mentioned since the first quarter. If we were to exclude these two impacts, the company would have been growing profits by 23.6%. The ROE, adjusted ROE, is 7.7%. And on the right-hand side, the assets managed, we distribute them by country, with Colombia, Chile's 32%, Peru 16%, Uruguay 2%, Colombia 23%, and Salvador 4%. In slide number 20, we have some figures for results from Suda Asset Management during the semester. Total revenue was 2.7 billion pesos with a growth of 5.23%. We have retained premiums for 1.1 billion pesos, which show a decrease of 6.9%. When these figures are calculated in local currencies, we have positive growth. This is all due to the foreign exchange issue. Commissions income was 134,000 million pesos. I show here a decrease of 1.4%, but it is also foreign exchange effect because the actual growth was 5.8%. Investment, 556 million, grew 119%. The equity method, which is mainly Protección and CESED, we have 91,000 million pesos with a growth of 63%. And there's a difference of exchange of 63,800 billion, which have a negative impact. In expenses, they were 2.23 billion pesos, and we have retained losses for 184,000 million pesos with an increase in 28%. Adjustment of reserves by 920,000 billion pesos, which decreased 1.3%. Administrative expenses, 652,000 million pesos, which have an increase of 4.5%, which is including some non-recurring expenses, but also show that the company is making a significant effort to improve its efficiencies. Interest is 95,000 million pesos, growing 30.5%. And net profit for the company was 251,000 million pesos, with a decrease of 14.9% because of the reasons I already explained. In slide number 21, we have a comparison of results for the first quarter of 2016 and 2017, and we can see which items are adding and which are subtracting. Net profit for 2016 was 295,000 million pesos. The mandatory segment contributes 41,000 million pesos of growth in its results. Voluntary is 5,250, also improved the results. Insurance with Protección, 9,656 million pesos, positive also. Annuities here decrease 39,110 billion pesos. The foreign exchange impact decreases our profit by 90,000 million pesos. Operating expenses decrease by 5,443 million pesos. The wealth tax improved 34,000 million pesos because that tax went down. Financial expenses increased by 20,000 million pesos, and others that improve are by 20,900,000 billion pesos without a difference in foreign exchange and non-recurring provisions that we had during the first quarter. This company, the profits would be growing at 33.6%. So, by segment, in slide number 22, we start with the mandatory. We have the managed assets, which come to 340.9 billion pesos with an increase of 18.1%. We see that practically in every country there is growth, significant double-digit growth of these assets under management. In the affiliates membership is total of 17,260,000 members, which grows 7.7%. And in the countries such as Chile and Peru, before you do a bid for the new members, we have a growth. But in all the other countries, we see a growth in the members. Salary base grew 1.6% total. And we see that in Chile, there's a growth in local currency of 2%. In Peru, there's an increase of 0.1% in local currency. In Uruguay, 10.6%. Colombia is stable and growing at 6.7%, rather. And Salvador, 6.4%. And the last graph is the commissions that we charge based on the salary, which remain unchanged. From the mandatory segment in slide number 23, we have revenue from commissions, which in local currency grew by 3.7% and has growth in commissions in all countries except Peru, which grew by 3.6%. The return on mandatory reserves, 126,000 million pesos, with an increase of 348%. It has a good behavior in every country, more significantly Chile, which has 69,000 million out of the 126,000 of total growth for this return on mandatory reserves. Operational expenses, which is 429,000 million pesos, in local currency grew to 19.4%. The greatest growth was seen in Mexico and grew by 33%. And net profits for the segment, which is 173,000 million pesos, is growing 15.7% in local currency. We see that there is positive behavior in Chile and in the case of Protección in Colombia and in other countries such as Mexico, Peru, and Uruguay. There is Mexico and Peru have a decrease in the result for the mandatory segment. Let's go to slide number 24, where we have the voluntary segment. The managed assets ended at 32 billion pesos with a growth in local currency of 23%, with positive growth in every country. The number of members is 1,010,000 billion, with a growth of 14.7%, also with a positive behavior in every country. Net flow of the assets under management, which is very important, is how much do those assets grow through net flow, was 1.8 billion pesos with a growth of 32.8 8% and with a net positive flow in every case except Peru. And the returns from the various voluntary funds were also very positive, 1.3 billion pesos, growing by 126%. Most important, Chile in this case. In slide number 25, the voluntary segment, we have commissions income of 93,000 million pesos with an increase of 25.3% in local currency, and showed growth in every country. Net premiums with savings, which is they grew 28.2%. This is very unique for Chile. Operating expenses of 144,000 million pesos grew 11%. This is a segment in which we're investing a lot to make it grow. And that is why we have an increase in operating expenses. And in net profits, which came from a loss of 13,700 million pesos, this decreases by 25% compared to the previous year. Finally, we have the insurance segment, where the premiums, net premiums, add up to 650,000 million pesos, decreasing 18.6%. The main explanation for this is that in Peru, sales of annuities have decreased. We also have an increase in Chile of 27%. The reserves also have been slightly adjusted. The adjustment of reserves was 163,000 million pesos, with a decrease of 19.6%. The retained claims are 216,000 million with a growth of 21%, and net profit for the segment was 46,700 million pesos with an increase of 37%. Well, this I have the end of my presentation of results, and we open this for Q&A. This is the start of our questions and answers. We have the questions, those who are only connected in the web, or those who are listening to English, please use the platform. For the people on the Spanish line, please, if you have any questions, please push star 1 on your phone. If you want to remove yourself from the waiting list, push the number of sign. First question from Angie Rodriguez from La Vivienda. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. I have several questions about the results. The first one is, what is the reason for the difference in rate of exchange during the this quarter? We had some devaluation of the currencies in which you operate in the various countries. That's my first question. The second question has to do with the approval of the law for financial conglomerates. What is the impact that you expect from this, and when do you expect this this impact to come into effect? And that last question is El Salvador and your expectations with respect to the fiscal situation. What is your position vis-a-vis El Salvador, and what are your outlook? And also I have a little bit of ideas about the voluntary business. When do you expect to make these operations profitable? Because they are still showing losses. We see good dynamics in operations, but I'd like to know when could these show some profits? Thank you. The conglomerates law, as you saw this week, the plenary session approved the agreed version from both the Bush chambers. The main impact is due, that we have to, the holding is going to be subject to more supervision by the regulator, the financial superintendents. We don't see any impact on the businesses, as we were able to say during the discussions about the law with those representatives from the government. For example, in the case of Protección, it is not necessary to divest any funds. In the case of Bancolombia, although there is a position of control from the point of view of the financial statements, they are not going to be consolidated, Bancolombia's figures, in our financial statements. So the presentation of results is going to be the same or very similar, and the investments in Protección are going to be under the same regulations that we have so far. For El Salvador, there is a delicate fiscal situation. The government has been putting a lot of pressure on pensions to try to make a more mandatory investment, which is not accepted by the court. Also, they were proposing a change to the pension system to create again a distribution system based at least on a percentage of what exists today, which also has been rejected. So far, although there are a lot of threats, nothing has been materialized because of this rejection of from various sectors to this type of proposal. We do not think that we are in a situation of saying that there is no risk, not yet. The risk is very latent, but we are very paying a lot of attention and working very hard to defend our individual system in that country. So far, we haven't had anything to affect us in a material way. About the difference of rate of exchange, I'll ask Ricardo Jaramillo to answer the question. And about the voluntary business, I'll ask Andres Bernal to answer. Good morning, everyone. The issue of the rate of exchange is seen from different points of view. The main impact has to do with the debt in dollars that Grupo Soda has into international bond issue, which is $150 million. Of those bonds, we have right now covered, the coupons are totally covered, and we have some of the capital already covered. But, as I said, with the coverage of the coupons, we have a peace of mind that the company's cash flow is completely covered for the next several years. But because of the devaluation of the peso, as we mentioned, there is an impact because of that $150 million. That is not only associated to the rate of exchange, but also since we have some coverages which are associated to the interest rate in pesos and the interest rate in dollars, any variations in those interest rates will also have an impact on what we have for the net difference of exchange. The message is that we're going to have the company covered from the cash and from the balance sheet point of view. This is, we're going to be covering the capitals as long as there is cost provision. In the case of Sudan, we have a similar effect where we issued the bonds in dollars. We have coverage for the various currencies in the region. And part of that compensation of difference of exchange is seeing that we have better figures in operating side of the companies. Bank debts that the companies have are totally covered. So the only point that is produced by that difference in foreign exchange is to the debts in dollars for the companies. Andres, I'm sort of about your questions about the voluntary segment and when will we get to the break-even point. An explanation. This business is divided into three segments. Insurance, which is profitable. The asset management, which is small but has been growing well. And the other management that we have more details. If you still look at slide number 29, you'll find in the notes that the dynamics, as I said, is very positive. We have an increase in 23% assets under management. We're growing almost 15% in number of clients. And net flow requires fewer balances from the customer. It's growing 23%. In each country, it's been growing more than 20%. So the commercial part, we're doing pretty well. What is the challenge? It is the expenses, and basically the commercial expenses. The risk is, this is a long-term decision. As we can grow those rates and not above the mean of the market, this is a decision that we want to invest more in market share. In the first few years, it produces heavy expenses, while you can get some stock to cover those expenses. So if you were to decelerate the growth, and we will go to positive results immediately. In summary, we could be at this rate in about 2 years, we could see positive results. We are growing or creating companies to complement our offering to close customers, and that delays our break-even, but it improves our long-term perspective. Thank you very much. Thank you. Next question comes from Johanna Castro from Itaú BBA. Good morning. Thank you for your conference. My question is about page 51 of the integrated report, where you show operating expenses for the corporate segment. I would expect that Grupo Suda as a holding would try to decrease its operational expenses. And during this quarter, if you look at the accumulated at June, operating expenses increased 10%, but during the quarter they went up 30%. Can you tell us a bit more about what your plans are? Because you as a holding company, in theory, control this type of item. Well, Joanna, during the conference for the first semester, we told you that we had a fine imposed in Mexico about a competition from La Covese, a fine that we had to provision 100% for, more than $14 million, that right now we are appealing it, but obviously that affects our expenses. That's why we speak about non-recurring expenses. In addition, we have a problem with DIAN, the local tax authorities, that we're discussing that with them because it is the deductibility or non-deductibility of the expenses for the holding companies. And in that respect, we are looking at a possible conciliation, but that has not been decided. So if we have that as a as an outlook, as a possibility, we have to provision that. What the conciliation would cost is 37,000 million pesos, non-recurring items, and the Catalan will explain more. There's an additional point, Johanna, which is still important to keep in mind, which is the impact from the acquisition of RSA. If we, in addition to the two impacts that David mentioned, we eliminate the effect that we took, integrated those six operations, when we look at administrative expenses for every as a whole, they are decreasing So that gives us the peace of mind that both operations and the corporate, and if we exclude that impact because of the acquisitions, and if we include the impacts associated with the non-recurrence, we are decreasing the expenses, which is the important message that would answer your question. So when could we see that this will be reflected? Or obviously, we do not have in mind for any sort of non-recurrent expenses in addition to the two that we have. The normalized expenses due to the operation of RSA, both what the operations produce and the corporate at South Americana, we think that the exact time when they're going to be completely normalized is when at the end of this year, and when we can, because of the comparison, not because we're increasing expenses, but because of the comparison, we can stop in January. We can compare to January 18, comparing 18 January of 2017, and we can see a year where we can compare apples and apples, because right now we're comparing a moment in June against a moment in last year when we didn't have the same expenses associated with the integration of RSA. Thank you very much. If you have a question, ask, press star 1 in your phones. Good morning. I forgot to ask another question earlier. It's about the pensions reform in Chile. Chile signed the bills. They want to make some changes to the pension system. What are your, or what is your outlook about this? And I'd like to know, when could we see some effective balanced tax rate for Grupo Sura? Andres Bernal is going to answer about Chile, and Ricardo Jaramillo will talk about the other part of the questions. Good morning. The proposal from President Bachelet, which is subject to approval, has two key points. First is to increase the rate of contribution to IAS 10% of the salary and put it up to 15% of the salary by step-by-step increase a year for the next 5 years, and to reach a contribution rate of 15%. This is important because in Chile we're taking the first few people who are retiring under the system. It wasn't the first to do it, and the percentage of the last salaries of the person with respect to what they actually received in their retirement is under 60 or 70%, which is what's always been forecast as the break-even point for the pension's expenses. We are increasing about 30-40%, so an increase of 10 to 50% is 50% more of contributions, and therefore at the end they would be increasing the rate of replacement, which would be less than 60%, which would be the adequate figure. That's very positive for the country, for the employees, for the retirees. It's an additional burden, but step by step by the employers. But that want to increase, divide that by 2%. 2%, which is solidarity for those who are having a very low pension, and it would support the future pensioners. And this would be managed by a government organization, non-profit, and a 3% additional 3% that would go to the individuals' accounts. There are different opinions. It has not been approved yet. From the current point of view, it would benefit the employees, the ADP, the country's economy, and obviously it would be subject to any adjustments. But in general, it is positive to increase from 10 to 15% the contribution rate, and because that 10% is impossible to sustain over the long term. The other question about the taxes is, I would say that the main impacts that those taxes on Grupo Sula have as a consolidated company in this semester are, have to do with two things. You know that IFRS, they created a number of rules about deferred taxes which affect the way you look at those taxes. The first thing is related to deferred taxes. It was necessary to include in our financial statements of Suran and in Grupo Sula because of the announcement on the sale of the Peruvian operations. What they're saying is that you're going to have a profit in the future, so please charge deferred tax. And that's the first impact, which is about, it's close to $3 million that we are charging against the impact of the tax, but we have not charged the impact of the profits when we complete the transaction. And the other point that affects also taxes has to do with the fact that, as David presented it during the presentation, you see that the mandatory reserves and investments have evolved very good, very well in Sula AME. That mandatory reserves provide better yields and improve our the tax contribution. So we're consolidated. We cannot see the taxes as a predictable rate. We have to look at the individuals. Peculiarities in each company, which can give us some tax or non-tax dividends, the comparison vis-à-vis the presumptive tax. So that's something that you have to look at that in a much broader context. That is why what I'm always saying is those who are interested in looking at this in more detail, we're completely open to do that, but to explain it. But obviously the impact of this semester has to do with those two points that I mentioned initially. I would add also the deductibility of the expenses for the from the holdings that we were mentioning. We were talking about Santiago Rojas last week because there are some ideas in which that should be deductible, and we're in the process of discussing that with the tax authorities. I think that in a country like Colombia, I would say that it is very difficult for that to become stable because we have tax reforms every year. The IRS standards come with some new tax ideas every so often and make these companies, afford the companies to make a very big effort to deal with the tax issue. We're doing the best. We have the best consultants, and what we're trying to do is to do it as fairly as possible. We hope that, this issue, especially the deductibility of some expenses for the holdings, can be resolved because that would help us a lot with our taxes. A question from Cito Buentes, from what are these results compared to the budget? That question is used to say that operating in operating terms, the companies are doing very well in growth and efficiency. The individual impact of that leads to a decrease in profits, as I said, as David said, have to do with non-recurrent issues and the difference of exchange. So when we look at total revenue and total expenses in the budget, we are doing well. Especially in the revenue, we're getting 106% of the budget. In expenses, we're about 101%. And in profits, in spite of these impacts, we are above the budget because our numbers, we projected a certain devaluation of the currency, and we had already the expectation of some of those impacts that would be coming. But the operating growth at the companies is doing very well, and that's why we think that we are doing very well vis-a-vis the budget. Thank you. We have no further questions. the floor of Mr. Buchanan for his closing comments. Thank you all for connecting to this call, telling you that our investor relations area is always open to answer any of your questions, and wishing you a very good day. Thank you very much. This concludes the conference for today. If you want to listen to this conference again, it will be available in our webpage over the next few days. Thank you for participating. You may hang up now.